Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There is nothing on earth like the KISS Army.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the plot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And Quarantine returns to the show for the patented classic album Clash. I got the whole band, guitar players Joe McGinnis and Charlie Pata, bass player PJ Farley, and the originator of Quarantine, Kent Slusher, on the drums. And I'm sure you can guess which band we're talking about. KISS, of course. But we're doing two albums from the non-makeup years. 1987's Crazy Nights versus 1991's Revenge. We're breaking down both records, artwork, production, recording, songwriting, album covers. We got tons of great trivia about both, stories about the super producers who worked these records, Ron Nevison and Bob Ezrin, respectively. Memories from seeing the tours. PJ actually even toured with KISS on the Revenge Tour when he was with Trickster. Some details about how and why Quarantine chose to do a song like No, No, No from Crazy Nights, Heart of Chrome from Revenge, and what we might do next. So, Quarantine is here today, and Quarantine is also on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Four Leaf Clover. You still have time to book your cabins at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. We set sail February 2nd. And for the first time ever, we're going to our very own private island, Great Stirrup Cay. Come hang with me in a pretty stacked lineup of talent. AEW is going on the ship, and we just announced Swerve Strickland. We just announced Jade Cargill, Danhausen, Dante Martin. The Jericho Appreciation Society is going to be there. Don't forget all of the amazing bands that are going to be on board. Like I said, so much stuff going on with the cruise. Wardlow's going to be there. So book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And speaking of music and speaking of Fozzy, we want to thank everyone who came out to see us in the UK. Thousands and thousands of tickets sold. We just got home after playing our most successful UK tour yet. We're getting ready to do it in the States in March. And don't forget Australia. We're coming to see you November 30th. We start in Brisbane, December 2nd in Melbourne, December 3rd at Sydney, December 4th in Adelaide. VIPs are completely sold out for the first three shows. There are still VIPs available in Adelaide. Go to FozzyRock.com to check that out and to come see Fozzy live. All right, let's get to it. The KISS classic album Clash. Crazy Nights versus Revenge with Quarantine starts right here, right now on Talk is Jericho.
How y'all feeling tonight, people?
We are actually celebrating the very first full quarantine rehearsal.
And how do we celebrate?
With the pisco. Charlie always brings pisco, which is a Peruvian alcohol invented in Peru. So it's good to have you guys here. And I thought, well, since we're all here, and we're going to have to kind of go a little bit quicker than usual because we got Ace Frehley we want to go check out. We're going to do a classic album Clash. And Kent has been involved before, not with a classic album Clash, but with a KISS podcast. I know PJ's done the classic album Clash before. But what it is, we compare and review two albums. And, of course, we are a non-makeup 80s KISS tribute band. So we will do two non-makeup KISS albums, which to me are both great, and they're probably the two best, in my opinion, are 1987's Crazy Nights and 1991's Revenge. So, first and foremost, let's talk about 80s KISS and how you guys got into 80s KISS, because most people that learn about KISS is when they had the makeup, and can't believe that you would ever love 80s KISS better than 70s KISS. So, PJ, how did that come about for you?
So my thing was, Kiss for me was my whole is my whole existence for why I'm into music. Everything I do, it's because of basically of Kiss. And now I'm gonna be honest, and at some point I strayed during the 80s. Once you could see Gene was uncomfortable in his own skin,
right,
I tapped out. Although I loved the music, you know, Asylum and Animal Eyes and all this, and Crazy Nights, I couldn't see him struggle like that. And I was onto things, you know, I started my career real young, so I was hyper-focused, so I kind of tapped out, and I said, I'm going to circle back, you know. And I did, around maybe Hot in the Shade, they got me, and then Revenge for me, and I know I'm probably jumping the gun here, but Revenge to me is, I think, one of the most important Kiss records.
Important?
Yeah.
Because it got him back on the map?
And I think it's, we're doing Revenge versus
Crazy Nights.
Crazy Nights. And I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of strong thoughts.
Well, and we're going to get into it, because a lot of people don't care for the Crazy Nights record, because, and I'll take over, because it's very pop-oriented in a lot of ways, a lot of keyboards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, Crazy Nights was the first Kiss record that I ever waited to buy at the store. I stumbled onto Kiss. It's a well-documented story. When I saw the video for Heaven's on Fire, who the f*** is this guy jumping through the fire? This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's Kiss. Doesn't Kiss wear makeup? No, they took their makeup off. What are you talking about? So that's when I kind of got into them. Asylum kind of came out, and our friend group didn't really get into it. We didn't like the cover of it. We thought the cover was stupid, so we never really bought it. But I remember Kiss Crazy Nights in Circus Magazine. That was the big ad, Kiss Crazy Nights. And they had the broken mirror cover, and I thought, this looks really cool. So I went to the record store. Is Kiss Crazy Nights out yet? Not yet. Come back to next week. There it is. And so that's kind of was my, I think I bought that, and I believe Lizzie Borden Visual Lies,
yes,
on the same day.
See the Crazy Nights tour.
I did see the Crazy Nights tour. I saw the Crazy Nights tour with opening act Anthrax.
Ooh, nice.
There you go. So to me, Crazy Nights is very important to me as well, because yes, there's a lot of keyboards and it's a very more of a pop oriented record, but that's what was going on at the time. And Kiss, they weren't following the trends, but they were definitely mirroring the trends of what was going on.
Of course.
And that's what you kind of had with that record. So, Kent, how about you?
Yeah, so, I, you know, Alive 2 and all that. So, I when I was younger, 3, 4, I listened to Kiss, but it was an age thing. I was old enough to really get it. You know, I remember watching MTV and they took the makeup off and it was a big reveal and the album cover. And at the time, I couldn't tell who was. I thought Eric Carr was Paul Stanley for the long, you know what I mean?
But I thought Vinnie Vincent was Ace
Frehley. Yeah, you know.
If you look, he's got the same hair.
I just didn't know, you know. It's like, I had a buddy of mine, so guess who this is? And I was like, that's Paul Stanley. No, it's Eric Carr. You know, that old thing. But then I just think the music, I was old enough to get it more than the makeup era stuff. I was just, it was that era, you know, the MTV era where the videos coincided with the records a lot. And to me, nostalgic-wise, and again, probably jump the gun, but nostalgia-wise, the Crazy Nights record was huge for me nostalgia-wise. Like, I can picture exactly where I was right now at that moment in time, you know?
So how old were you in 1987?
In 87, I was 11.
11, okay,
I was
great.
11, so I remember it was the MTV Reason to Live video, the Turn on the Night. All those videos were huge because they were live. You know, the Reason to Live video was more of a thing, but they were live. Crazy Nights was live. Well,
and also, too, what I liked about it was I was such a huge Paul Stanley fan because of seeing him jump through the Ring of Fire, which we did in the Loves the Daily Weapon video. So I loved that era because it was all Paul. Gene was out of the picture. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why Kiss wasn't as good, but the Paul stuff was great.
Yeah.
So it was all Paul, Paul, Paul. And all those videos just featured Paul. I was like, I don't even care about Gene Simmons. Who cares about that guy?
Paul was always my favorite. You know, it was that voice and that thing and the charisma, the whole thing. And he carried the weight, you know, through that era. And then, you know, we'll get to the
other. We'll get to the other. How about you, Joe? Because you're a late bloomer Kiss fan, kind of.
Kind of, sort of. So in 87, 88, I vividly remember my brother getting ready to go watch the Crazy Nights tour. And he was in the mirror getting ready. And, of course, back in those days, you had the big hair. So he's teasing his hair up. And I said, where are you going? And he was wearing a Kiss shirt. And he said, I'm going to watch Kiss in Glens Falls, New York. And I'm like, what is this? Where, where, how do I get there? I knew nothing about it, you know, so it just kind of blindsided me. So mix in, you know, lots of Kiss Exposed, VHS, wearing out that tape, yeah, and Animalized Live Uncensored. My brothers and I, the three of us, are super, super tight. And the bond has always been Kiss. And that's why, you know, we grew up, you know, watching each other kind of, you know, develop our fandom. And, you know, kind of blossomed there. I was always, that was my era of Kiss, you know, Revenge. I remember hearing the news about Eric Carr passing, yeah, away. And as a kid, that affected me. I wanted to learn more. And then when Kiss Extreme Close-Up came out, you know, I got to see even more, you know, the history.
They were at the forefront at that time with those videos. Because there was Exposed, which was after Asylum. Mm-hmm. Then there was Extreme Close-Up, which was around Revenge. And there was another one they, yep, did.
Confidential.
Yep. So, like you said, no one was doing them. And it was like they had all of this great, like, behind the scenes.
Definitely set the,
they were really so smart. They would mix in the 70s stuff, which is great also. But, you know, when you could watch All Night, you know, with all the MTV girls, and the, you know, and then you could watch footage from 1973 or 74 at Winterland, you know, it just hooks you instantly because there's nothing to, you know, not want to see. It's just so entertaining.
The best thing is I was in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. When you go to the elevator, there's a big mirror that looks like a key lock. And I took the picture and sent it to you guys, and all five of you know exactly what it was. Oh, that's the All Night video, yeah. How about you, Charlie? What was your experience with non-makeup Kiss?
Actually, I was probably one or two when Crazy Nights was released.
Jeez.
Yes. But my experience with non-makeup Kiss was when the movie Detroit Rock City was released. I was like 13 or 14 at that time. And I remember watching the movie and said, man, Kiss is not just a band. That it's almost a lifestyle, right? And in Peru on the radio, they would only play Forever, like I Was Made for Loving You. Right. So the thing is that I had like my friends that played guitar, they were more into non-makeup Kiss. And they showed me like Crazy Nights. Not the video, not the album, just the song. And after listening to the album, Crazy Nights, I said, whoa, man. Ace really got some guitar lessons or what? And they were, no, man, they changed the guitar player. That's it. And then I started to, you know, make my own research of, you know, the Kiss-tory for saying like that.
Right.
And I got hooked on it because as being a glam rock, hard rock, heavy metal fan, I found it more appealing, like that record in particular, right? With, you know, with the pop melodies, with the keyboards, you know, and even the sound, the production and everything.
Yeah.
But as well, I also noticed that, I don't know, the demon is not really comfy with his new persona, right?
he couldn't That's find so his way. He had it took till Revenge, which is my favorite Gene, non-makeup yeah. Gene by
sort of started showing signs during Hot and Shady.
Yep, but exactly.
It's interesting to me, yeah, too, because I was always, like, and we'll talk about this more, I was like, Gene's songs in the 80s were terrible. In retrospect, though, the kids' Crazy Nights songs are actually pretty good.
And I liked some of the stuff off Asylum, too.
I think his stuff on Asylum is great as well. So the reason why I chose Revenge versus Crazy Nights is we go track by track, as you guys know. And even though Revenge has 12 songs, technically, one of them is the Eric Carr drum solo.
Car Jam.
We have to be mindful to keep nostalgia and... Yeah. You know, all that.
Yeah.
We're just going straight up
track for track. Yeah. This is a song for song.
Yeah. And that's the element of it. So we'll go. So Crazy Night, September 21st, 1987. Another thing, a reason why this album really appeals to me is that was my senior year in high school. So you start like we in Winnipeg, we started like in September 6th or 7th. So this was like the very first few weeks of high school. So this whole year I lived with Crazy Nights. So that always has a little bit of an element for you. And of course, produced by Ron Nevison, who was a very famous producer. Yeah. Uh-huh. He had just come off a huge success with Heart, and Kiss actually waited 2 years to get Ron Nevison because he wasn't available. Because if you remember, Kiss was always doing album tour from 80 all the way through. It was Elder and
Brigade record there for
it was
Heart?
The one. It was Brigade, but the one before it. What About Love and all those and, ones? That was
Animals. Some About Animals.
Bad Animals.
Anyway, Bad Animals.
Yeah. I think it was the Heart self titled.
Sorry, I digress. Yeah. But I was just curious.
Never.
Huge hits.
Those. Yeah. What About Love? Gotcha. You know, Alone. Gotcha. So, because if you look, Kiss every year the 80s up until then put a record: Unmasked, Elder, Creatures, Lick It Up, Animalize, Asylum. Nothing in 86. They had to wait for Ron Nevison. So that's the reason why.
Never thought about that.
A little trivia here, Kent. You can hear a lot of trivia. All right, you guys know that I travel every week for AEW, and I'm on the road for Fozzy as well. But I don't worry about appliances or any of the stuff at my house breaking down while I'm gone, because we've got American Home Shield. And truthfully, I'm not a fix-it-myself guy anyway. So even if I was home and we had a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater, I'm not the one who's going to fix it. And unexpected breakdowns like that won't break your bank with American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. You just choose a plan that works for you and your budget. And then when a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage in your agreement. Right now, you can get 20% off. Just go to ahs.com/Jericho and save that 20%. That's ahs.com/Jericho for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield, don't worry, be warranty. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home or building manufacturer.
We want to do a little number for you now!
Now, Revenge is another very famous producer and very famous in the history, of course, Bob Ezrin. This record came out May 19th, 1992. So it's only about 4.5 years later, but it seems like it was 20 years later.
It's think about amazing. That, right? That's good perspective right there.
Yeah. September of 87 to May of 92. And it's like a completely different band. So complete about face. So let's, we always discuss the covers first and foremost before we get into the track by track. So of course, Crazy Nights is the smashed mirror cover, and Revenge is just kind of the very classic. I don't know if it's a metal door or something with Kiss with Revenge written on it in blood. Which cover do you like better, PJ? Any comments about that?
Well, it's apples and oranges. I mean, I love the classic just Kiss logo and blood. But, you know, the Crazy Nights is a cool concept, and it's a good visual. But I don't know. I'm more of a classic understated guy. I'm going to go with the Revenge cover.
I also believe that Revenge was the first cover ever to not have Kiss's faces on it. If you think through.
Sign of the Times.
Elder. Elder.
Kiss was on the flip side, or if you turn around, weren't they on lined up?
Yeah,
on
they were the back. Yeah.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Sean, talk about the Elder.
Which is funny because I remember going to the local record store, and if you bought Kiss cassette of Revenge, they gave you a poster. And the poster was the one with the black leather and jeans, got the ponytail and the trench coat. And I was like, I put that up. What was I, 21 years old? Put that up on the wall. Not that I ever had any girls over there, because I didn't want to disrespect the parents of the house I was living at. But I was like, look at the freaking grown man putting up a Kiss poster on his wall. But it looks so cool, I couldn't help it.
Dude, I am.
Hey, you can hear that story a lot here.
Yeah. Dude, if we're going cover for cover, I like the understated badassness of the Revenge. Mm-hmm. It's to me, even that cover makes a statement.
Yeah,
it's like
great call.
It's like it's not colorful. It's not it's not blue and yellow and pink and purple. It's like we're going back to the basics.
It's
we're gonna rip your face.
What
off.
Is it? It's metal and it's blood metal. Exactly. And the Kiss logo. That's
just
all
kinda,
you see.
It kind of makes a statement before you even hear a song.
That's a good point. So, what do you think, Joe?
This is a tough one for sure, and. I think that being said, I'm going to have to lean towards the creativeness of the Crazy Nights cover, only because I actually listened to I think it was Dennis Wallach who did a lot of their cover art, and some of the stuff that they had to go through to get these covers exact, like Creatures of the Night, some of those album covers, they look great, but sometimes you think about what goes into that, and
right.
It's a lot more intricate than you would think. A lot of, trick photography, a lot of editing. But it just comes together so cohesively, and it just looks great. I remember the tour book as a kid. My brother brought it home from that concert, and I'm just like, that's so great, you know? Like, so that I'd have to go with Crazy Nights.
Does anybody remember what it said on the back of that tour T-shirt?
Well, there was two.
Do you remember what it said?
Discuss, because I have them both. This is the best thing ever. I'm glad you brought this up, Kent. So they were selling Kiss merch, and then they had a Paul Stanley shirt
yep.
and a Gene Simmons shirt. And on the shirt were cartoons. and both was a cartoon Paul Stanley surrounded by cartoon chicks, and the jean was a cartoon jean surrounded by cartoon chicks. Now, what did it say on the back of the shirt?
Well, the one, see, that's a different one. I know which one you're talking about.
Which one you got?
The one that I have, still, it's got the Chikara on the front of it and the band, and on the back of it, it says, I went crazy with Kiss.
Oh, nice.
In red. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that thing?
I don't.
Yeah, it says, I mean, real big letters, I went crazy with Kiss. I don't know why I just thought of that when you were talking about the record, but.
Who sold more shirts?
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, at the end of every night,
oh, yeah,
they were probably going, who sold more? I would say at the time, Paul probably sold more. And Paul, on the back of Paul's shirt, said, life is like sex. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what jeans was. Something about, you know, money and sex or something like this. You know, typical jean fair or whatever, right? But see, I also heard that the Crazy Nights cover, like we're talking about, it actually was broken glass that was shattered. And they, I guess Photoshop wasn't the thing.
Right.
And Paul, when he got, it was his idea for the design. But when he got the design back, he wanted the guy to make his face bigger. Which is amazing. That's great. So you're going with the Crazy Nights cover?
Yeah, I'd have to.
What do you think, Charlie? Down.
I don't know if that's because we both play guitar, but actually I like that cover too. Not that I don't like the cover on Revenge, but I think that both have this like strong statement. Like, you know, like the Crazy Nights is like, here we are, these are our faces, we're not wearing the makeup anymore, right? And your one's like a little bit like darker and, you know, sending that message. But I think because of the time of that album and having, you know, when I was collecting those, like in that moment, like CDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was more like according to what I was listening to that time, and that cover was making so much sense because it was all about, you know, looking good and looking foxy. So,
foxy.
Right? So I'll keep that one.
And we have to be remiss. Go ahead, Joe.
No.
Oh, I was just saying, I'd have to be remiss if I didn't mention the Kiss Crazy Nights. We're talking about how cool they looked on Revenge. Kiss Crazy Nights. Paul Stanley's picture is the best ever. It was just the jeans with the safety pins on it and the G string. The G string is pulled up,
yep,
like
above the hip.
It's so obnoxious.
My sister loved that.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I bought a shirt with that on it. I wore it to see Kiss with you that time in Tampa.
Yep, I remember.
Where'd you get that? That's terrible. But so I got to go with I do love what PJ said, the statement of Revenge, but I do love Kiss Crazy Nights. I just always loved Kiss Crazy Nights as a whole as a whole concept. And as you look at the record, as you turn it over, it says Kiss Crazy Nights. No matter which way you turn the record, you see it coming up there. I have to say a quick thank you to Pretty Litter because it's been so peaceful at my house lately. Nobody's fighting over cleaning the litter boxes and nobody's complaining about how bad it smells where we keep the litter boxes. Pretty Litter's altered absorbent crystals trap odor instantly and the crystals last up to a month, so less scooping out of the box. And best part, Pretty Litter changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in our cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. It ships right to our door, so no last-minute trips to the store when we realize we're all out of cat litter. It's a win-win for my family, and it's a win-win for Mr. Mittens, Indy, and Snickers, my three cats. You and your cat or cats are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. It helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keeps odors down. Go to prettylitter.com/Jericho and use the code Jericho to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/Jericho. Code Jericho to save 20%. prettylitter.com/Jericho. Code Jericho. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Just in case somebody gets offended easy, this story's got to do with sex.
All right, so we get into the track by track here. Now, once again, this is where the proof is in the pudding. Gosh, it's kind of tough. It's Crazy, Crazy Nights, written by Paul Stanley and Adam Mitchell, which was the first single from that record, versus Unholy, which is Gene Simmons and the returning Vinnie Vincent, who is here in this hotel somewhere, or probably not. I think he lives in Nashville.
He lives here, yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
So that's Unholy versus Crazy, Crazy Nights. Charlie, why don't you start off? Which one do you think is better?
I think I will go with Crazy Nights. I know, you know, it's fun because in a way I said I like, you know, more aggressive music or whatever, but, you know, I got to be honest to myself and I really like that song. Like Crazy Nights is a song that represents like a lot of my close friends in Peru. We like that song. Like I have this friend who has this really cool like restaurant and he has the playlist, you know, Crazy Nights is there. Like every time I go, Crazy Nights sounds. And it's like, you know, even if they put that song a lot, like just too much in the restaurant, it's like, I don't know. It's the best thing
in the world.
Look, it's like...
Is that the restaurant that plays Crazy Nights all the time?
Yeah.
It's kinda, let's go there.
Weird. Can you get us a table?
It sucks, but the music's great. Yeah.
We'll go there one. We'll go there. But, you know, it's like a bonding thing with sure. friends. Crazy Nights is a bonding thing.
I think... So Crazy Nights, I remember when I first heard it, when it starts off, it's just the woo! And I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to start it. But I have to tell you this, though. So I, once again, as a Paul Stanley fanatic, and not even just, I would read the back of the album, see the Paul Stanley written songs, and automatically say that those are my favorites without even hearing them. Like, poor, I was not giving Gene anything. So I go 1992, May, and Much Music was our version of MTV, and we had the Power Hour. And I remember it was one of the greatest episodes ever because they said, coming up this week on the Power Hour, new Iron Maiden and new Kiss. And I was like, possibly my two all-time favorite bands. They're definitely in the top five. And I was like, this is great. And so it starts off, it was Iron Maiden, Be Quick or Be Dead, which at the time I was like, this is a pretty killer tune. I'm into this. I love it. Then Kiss is coming up. Now, the first thing I see is that Gene starts singing It's Unholy. And I'm like, this sucks. Because it's Gene. How dare they put out a Gene song first? And then it was like, oh my gosh, this is the best Kiss song in 10 years. And even Paul's wearing a shirt that says F*** on it. And he does the thing that I still do to this day of the cross, doing the Judas video, the cross of unholy. Mm-hmm. Like you guys said, Gene is back. He's the demon. The riff is great. This new drummer looks cool. The video was weird with like the Children of the Damned. And I was like, this is the best Kiss song I've heard in 10 years. Gene is back. I'm all in on this. So even though I love Crazy Nights, I got to give it to Unholy.
Good. I'll take the ball from you there. And I'll say that first and foremost, Unholy wins without question because A, Crazy Nights is probably my least favorite Kiss song.
Really?
From that era to begin with. But not only that, take that part out of the equation. The role of the two songs. Unholy was so much more important to Kiss than Crazy Nights was to Kiss back then. Because Unholy rallied all Kiss fans that were kind of, you know, fading, and at a time where, man, that was tough. They were in a fight they couldn't win at that point. When that came out,
right,
they needed a big hit, not hit like a, you know, like a radio hit, but they needed something to get all their fans. Even if they weren't getting new ones, they needed their fans to step up. And Unholy did just that. They looked great. The song was amazing. It was just perfect. And it was so much more important to their career. Even though, you know, look, relatively speaking, Revenge wasn't a huge record. Nobody from that era had a huge record then. That was grunge.
It was huge to Kiss fans, though.
It kept them in the mix and bubbling as a, you know, contender. Now, Crazy Nights was just another big song from Kiss back then. They would have had it with Tears Have Fallen anyway. So Crazy Nights didn't do for them what Unholy did for them. So Unholy is much more important of a song.
Kent?
I love the party vibe of Crazy Nights. It's a great live song. But Headbangers Ball, I stayed up all day, stayed up late. Ricky Rackman, they debuted the video and it blew my mind. Yeah. Like musically, I went, "What is this?" I feel like I should go to church after watching.
For really, which one? Yeah. Which song?
Like for Unholy, man.
For Unholy. Unholy. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I am the incubus. I lay the egg in you. I'm the worm.
The eyes rolling back in the head.
I was like, you couldn't have been more demon. Gene Simmons.
It was dark, black, and white, and like you said, Chris, just the dun. I mean, like,
yeah,
they were out for. They were going for the throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like,
and they hit it. They hit it right on the head.
To all the naysayers who thought we were this, here's what we can do too. And like, so long story short, Unholy.
It's funny when I talked to Paul about this record, about Revenge. We did a podcast solely about Revenge, which was great. We did one about Kiss Alive, one about Revenge, if you guys want to go back and listen to them. And I asked him, like, did you agree with the fact that after 10 years, because the last Gene Simmons video single was I Love It Loud. Did you agree with the choice of making that the first single? He goes, not necessarily. He goes, I thought there was better songs on it.
Oh, of course.
Shocker.
So go ahead, Joe.
This is a tough one. And what PJ said totally makes sense. But I'm a guy that needs to be lifted up, like spiritually, like need to be.
Gotcha.
The mood needs to be brought up for me. And right. When you start a song out with someone, you know, doing that,
woo,
and that scream, and the song just slaps you in the face, and you're like, oh shit, I want to get up and dance.
Yeah, it's a great chorus too. It is,
you know, it is a little bit played out, but you know, I'm trying to leave nostalgia out of it. You know,
right?
Because that's the rule.
That's the rule.
So I am going to do that. Musically, Unholy is the better song. You know,
for you,
but
and the story though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
It.
No,
that's the winner.
No. But
I'm going to go with Crazy Nights.
All right, okay, all right.
So then, one of the gems, I'll Fight Hell to Hold You, Paul Stanley, Adam Mitchell, and Bruce Kulick. This is where Bruce starts getting some writing credits because he's ensconced in the band now. Versus Take It Off, Paul Stanley, Bob Ezrin, and Kane Roberts. I always love these random people that show up and kiss up. Yes.
Brian right? Adams.
Kane Roberts.
There's a guy
the guitar guy.
Yeah, right? The guy from, what's the?
Ollie Scooper.
Kane Roberts came over to fix the kitchen sink and got a songwriting credit because he was in the room.
There's a guy here from, I think, Steel Rage is another Gene band that he did.
Silent Rage,
that's it. Tommy Thayer's on here. But I'll take this one. Take It Off versus I'll Fight Hell. I think I'll Fight Hell to Hold You is a underrated Kiss classic. I will put it up for the next quarantine song, although we'll probably be doing a Gene song next or whatever it is. I'm not saying it's going to get chosen. To me, that is one. And it is. Here's the one thing about the Crazy Nights record. Paul's vocals, this could be when he was at his peak. They were so high. So high. And I even asked him just a couple weeks ago. I was just on the bus and we were just talking. I said, what's the highest? And he said, I think I'll Fight Hell to Hold You is the highest one. So I love I'll Fight Hell to Hold You. And that's the one that I'm choosing. But I will say this. I think Take It Off is the perfect song to follow Unholy. Because just when you think yes. Kiss is too heavy and they've gone completely the other way, here comes Paul to sing about strippers.
Yet another brilliant factor of
classic Paul.
Revenge.
What does he say? Throw your titties in the air, wave your ass, and shake your hair.
No, uh-huh. That's the throw your panties in the air, lick your lips, and shake your hair.
Kind of wash some matches, shaking to the boys with noise. It's just amazing, and it's so pompous, it's a beautiful and so love ridiculous. Song. It's a beautiful love song, it is a great yeah. Kiss tune, especially for 92.
Yep.
This would have fit in better like maybe in 78 or 85, but 92 when they're dealing with Pantera and they follow Unholy with Take It Off. Hold You is a 9.5 and Take It Off is a 9. What do you think, Kent?
Solely alone on the vocal, alone. I'm going with Hell to Hold You just because it still blows my mind the fact that he could sing that the way he did. And it's a cool song, man.
Great riff, too.
The chorus is huge. The solo's badass. Bruce's solo in that is incredible, and as a lot of them are. So,
yeah,
Hell to Hold You.
I'm gonna agree wholeheartedly. I mean, it's a tough one because, man, Take It Off is such a great follow-up. It's such a strong song. And like Chris said, to follow it up after Unholy, it's like, yes, that's exactly what we wanted to hear. But Fight Hell to Hold You is just, it is, it's an outstanding vocal performance. It's a great hook. Mm-hmm. And so I got to give the nod to that.
To Hold You?
Yeah, to Hold
You.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. There you go. Yep.
Tough call, but
it is a tough call. That's the same. But listen, we both these albums are great records. So they were just, yin and yang here. What do you think, Joe?
I love the haunting like melody of "I'll Fight Hell to Hold You."
Mm-hmm.
It is just so, you know, it just makes you feel, man.
It's such a longing. It's such a longing in his voice.
But you know what? This is, like I said, this is my last year of high school, and I'm just, maybe there's some chick that dumped me or something. Or everything. Right. Like, when friends turn into strangers, does anybody care?
Right.
That line still resonates with me. When friends turn into strangers, does anybody care?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Yeah, Paul, you're right. Does anybody care?
Yeah, so I'm going to go hands down with "I'll Fight Hell to Hold You."
Right.
And just one quick side note there. The solo in it, once again, you got to give props to Bruce for the writing and the soloing. Just some of his best work, in my opinion.
I'll say that both these records are, Bruce's work is just incredible. Like, I think that's why he's so loved by the fans and by guys like us, because Bruce never made a mistake. Like, everything he ever did was great. Mm-hmm. Never phoned anything in. All of his solos were so well constructed, so well played. The tone was great all the way up until the
end.
And
it was unique.
Unique,
you know, it wasn't a carbon copy of Ace. Or
no,
Eddie.
It wasn't.
It was like, I'm Bruce
or
Kulick.
Eddie Van Halen.
That's
or
right,
George
yeah.
Lynch.
Yep.
He had his own style.
That's right.
Go ahead, Charlie.
It's like a tough choice because I used to have both CDs, but I got to be honest that the Revenge CD was not original.
There's a lot of pirated copies in South America, right?
Yeah, it's like a thing there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's very. You don't sell a lot of records because most things are pirated. I used to go to a record store in Mexico City where all of the covers you could tell were photocopied, but they were selling them as actual records. So none of them were actual licensed records. They were all ripoffs that they put in plastic and sell you for, you know, 200 pesos or whatever it was.
Yeah, like totally off topic. It's like they give you the cover, and then when you open the booklet, it would be all the albums had the Use Your Illusion booklet. Like, all the albums. It didn't matter. It didn't matter which album was it.
That's great.
What'd you pick?
That was an incredible story.
I will go with "I'll Fight Hell to Hold You."
Yeah.
Because there is something that Chris said here that is like key there, is that Paul Stanley's vocals at the time were in this inches peak.
Insane.
And those, like, how do you say it? Like the bootlegs. Those bootleg videos of their shows, like, he was doing like the high-pitched screams and everything during that era. So I would go with that one. And besides, I think that what you said about Bruce, that he's not like Ace, he's not like Eddie Van Halen, he's just Bruce. Like, he deserves a lot of credit, not just for the song, but for that era. It's like, you know, bringing the whole, you know, vibe, stadium vibe that they probably needed at the time.
They picked the right guy after Vinnie Vincent, Mark St. John. They picked the right guy.
Yeah. Agreed.
Here's why you should be getting Factor meals. They're always delivered fresh, never frozen. They're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and delicious. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And if you go to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use my promo code TIJ50, you'll get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box. Plus, how good does this sound? Parmesan and sun-dried tomato chicken penne with roasted green beans. That's what I had last week before heading out to AEW. Factor makes eating delicious, quick, and easy, which is exactly what I need, especially on travel days. I ate it right out of the Factor packaging as well, so no cleanup afterwards. So you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need, and you can pause and reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use code TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's code TIJ50 at factormeals.com/TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. All right, we move on to Bang Bang You, which is Paul Stanley and Talk Is Jericho alumni Desmond Child. We love Desmond here. I'm not sure if we love him as much on that song. And Tough Love, Paul Stanley, Bruce Kulick once again, and Bob Ezrin. This is an interesting one. I'd say out of both of these records, these two songs are kind of ones that are a little bit kind of not my favorites.
They are absolutely equal, like sixes or sevens.
Yeah.
And in the, yeah. In that spot too. That's why these records are so identical.
They're similar, yes.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. The if you're going to call them clunkers, they're in the same spots. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing, as I've done probably a dozen of these classic album clashes, just how similar the albums mirror themselves.
Right.
The guys had it in mind of like, yeah. But go ahead.
No, but it's crazy. Again, I think I'm going to go with Tough Love because I think the riff is cool. I think it's a little bit of a hokey chorus. But I mean, it doesn't get hokier than I'm going to bang bang you. And I think, and the plus bang bang you, it's a little too similar to Crazy Nights.
Oh, is it?
It's
well, how about this? Have you ever said Tough thing. Love is almost the exact same riff as Heart of Chrome?
Yes, of course it is. And is that yet another coincidence? So, yeah, exactly. But I'm still going to take it because I like the riff on Tough Love better.
Tough Love. Can't?
100% Tough Love, just based on the bridge alone.
Yeah.
Totally.
Totally. So it's got so much cooler.
It just bang bang used too, hokey.
Yeah.
Like, even when I was a kid.
Even like, back then, it was like,
yeah.
Or
whatever. Yeah, I was like.
The only thing I did like is that he referenced Love Gun. That was the only cool part. I was like, yeah, he said Love Gun. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love Paul, but that's not some of his stronger work. I'm going with Tough Love on that one for sure. Love you, Paul.
And just to make things quicker, I'm not going to dispute any of this because I agree wholeheartedly. Tough Love, move on to Charlie.
Just because, you know, every time that they would put that CD on the CD player, it would start sounding like Bang Bang You, and people would say, oh, please skip it. Like, you know, first of the forward.
This must be deleted.
Yeah. I think we all agree.
Tough Love?
One. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be the joker in this one. I'm going with Bang Bang You. Only because Tough Love never grabbed me. I didn't think the riff was all that great. It kind of brought me down after the opening two songs of like the best of Gene and the best of Paul. I love Bang Bang You only because Read My Body exists. If Read My Body had come out, I would think, okay.
Sadly.
Yeah. The chorus, listen, for 1987, the chorus is super catchy. But I love, this is really geeky Kiss. But there's a part right before the solo. That has the rhythm. He's like, yeah, down, down, down. Oh yeah,
I like parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that part there to me.
There is good part. I mean, of course, there's good part.
Take the lyrics out. Did you talk about the guy that wrote Love Gun? I mean, come on, man. You know.
But so on the whole,
I'm going with Bang Bang You only because I'm a sucker for Desmond Child, Paul Stanley songs, and that little riff there always grabbed me.
And I always wondered
good.
Why they picked that song to play live for the Crazy Nights tour instead of Good Girl Gone Bad or any other song.
I saw them play it. And that set, the Crazy Nights set, was only like 13 songs. It was very short.
Right.
I remember the gig was so short. And that was one of the tunes that they played. And Crazy Nights and Reason to Live. That's it. Those are the three they chose.
Yeah. Oh no, they played No also.
Not the one I saw.
Really?
They didn't. No, they played it only a couple times.
Okay.
As Paul Stanley said, as we talk about No, written by Gene Simmons, Bruce Kulick, and Eric Carr, when we sent him. Oh, what did he say? Bad Van.
Sorry,
Halen.
Bad Van.
Sorry,
Halen.
Bad Van Halen.
Was that the puke emoji?
That baby.
One?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's two Gene songs. No versus Spit, which is Gene Simmons. Scott Van Zen and Paul Stanley has a credit on this. I'll take this one. So Quarantine was created when Kent Slusher sent me a drum part and said, guess what this is, which is like saying, you know, guess what song this is. Happy birthday to you. Of course I know what song it is. And that's how it started. What are you doing? I'm doing this with my friend Joe. Need a singer? Sure. What are you doing it for? Just for fun? No.
We don't do things for fun.
Let's put it out on the radio. And we got a top 25 Billboard single for it. I never rated this song. If you would have said to me prior, hey, Chris, we're going to do a Kiss song from Crazy Nights. We're thinking of No. We want your input. I would have said, dude, I don't know if I want to do that. Can we do a Paul song? But I did it because this was your guys' thing. And I was like, well, let me try. When I got into this song, holy shit, is it crazy. Like, Gene's work on this is so good. And I never rated it until we started playing it. And then this off time, and this is weird proggy stuff. And there's a line that's the same, but he switched two words. And anyways, I think No versus Spit Spit is cool too. It's kind of Dirty Gene, but had you asked me this 3 years ago, I would have went with Spit. Asking me now, I got to go with No, No, No. Kent, what do you think?
Man, this is a tough one for me. This is a tough one. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Man, this is the toughest one for me so far. But I'm going to go.
It's only going to get harder.
I'm going to go with Spit. And the only reason I'm going with that is because it's Gritty Gene. Like, it's just everything that you love about Gene is in that one song. Like, you just did do-do-do-do. It's just.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. It's just, it's different. And then you got Paul coming in. I need big head, sweet love.
Bring him out of me.
I just thought that was
bigger cool. The bullshit, the better the cushion.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Go back to, I need a whole lot of stuff. You know, it's different than anything they've done before, really, in my opinion. So I'm going with Spit. That's a tough one.
Can I throw the little Spinal Tap? The bigger the cushion, the better the pushing. Most definitely. Which is another text I sent you guys. Most definitely. And everyone gets it right away.
Yeah. Spit.
What do you think, Charlie?
I think that, of course, you guys probably know I'm gonna say no. Mainly because, not only because of Gene, because I actually am a big Gene fan. I've had the chance actually to meet him personally, which was really fun. The first time I ever gone into the States, the first thing that happened was meeting Gene Simmons.
Oh, that's great.
Whiskey a Go-Go.
Did he call you a powerful and attractive man?
He did not say that, which actually hurt my feelings that he didn't. But he was really nice. He was like, hey, Charlie, are you happy here in America? How is everybody treating you? He was really such a great guy. But the thing is that I think that it's probably that song where actually Bruce had more time to express, all the things that he could do.
That's a great point.
Right? Like, he had more than 4 bars or 2 bars to do, a lead guitar. And besides, he starts, with the whole thing for himself. Like, it's alone. He only gets stopped by that tung-tung by Eric Carr, right? So, yeah, I go with no. Not only because I'm in the band Quarantine, but because, Bruce, and I love Gene. But
Charlie's
it's,
my favorite person.
Bruce... That was like Bruce moment, a Bruce moment that he deserved.
Well, it's funny because when we first put out No, I had some people saying, like, is this David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile? Like, what is this? People don't realize that this savage, muso, crazy song is in the middle. Joe, what do you think?
This is tough. I want to say Spit, but now No means so much more to me after, meeting my musical Kiss brothers here and extended family, which super thankful for being part of this, first of all. And this song has just grown on me even more. But now I think of our version, every time I think of the song. So it's associated with that. So I'm gonna go with no on this.
Yeah. I'm gonna go, I'll be honest, if it wasn't for us doing it and me really having to rediscover the song, because I mean It's one of those, hidden gems, really. I would have said, Spit, easily. Spit, just a killer Gene song. I mean, it's just perfect. But that being said, when I told Kiss fans, diehard Kiss fans, that we were going to cover No, they were like, oh, man, why are you going to do that song?
That's what I said.
And it's like, it's okay. But once we released it, they were like, holy shit. And that's kind of how I feel now about it. I think it's just a little bit more interesting and a little bit more unique. Spit is a great song. It is stock, but Gene's delivery takes it out of that stock. But it is kind of stock, but it's awesome. I'm going to have to go with No.
I've never been a fan of rhyming a word with a word, but the opening line of I'm down and out, but don't count me out, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. She's like,
fuck it. I just want to add that, I'm very thankful that you're playing that song, because that intro is, when I had to play that by myself. Yeah, man, I was like, oh man, I'll have to play No.
And before we move on, I just want to explain this to people that don't know. These are two like muso guitar players that can sweep with the best. You could probably play Far Beyond the Sun by Yngwie Malmsteen backwards and forwards, but you're having problems with some of the weird technical stuff that's going on these Kiss records. We talk about it today when we rehearse. They're doing stuff that is completely ridiculous, whether they did it on purpose or not. It doesn't matter. It's great stuff. If you don't know 80s Kiss, go check it out now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. the longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
God gave rock and roll to you!
All right, next track. Hell or High Water, Simmons and Kulik. There's Big Bruce again with his third writing credit on the album. This is interesting to me. Hell or High Water versus God Gave Rock and Roll to You Too. Russ Ballard, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Bob Ezrin. So I'll start. So God Gave Rock and Roll to You was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which came out in the summer of 91. I feel like, Lars, it was the summer of 91 that the album came out. I saw it. It's very, very good. Very cool. So I remember, like, the reason – the movie wasn't great, but I always loved it because if you watch it back, the world is saved because of this song. So Kiss saves the world by they released this – actually, it's supposed to be Bill and Ted, but it's Kiss, whatever. So anyways, so this song was Russ Ballard was a guy who was a band called Argent. Hold your head up. Yeah. They had a song called God Gave Rock and Roll to You. If you go listen to it, there's elements of the original in the Kiss cover, but mostly they've rewritten it, but they still have to give the major song credit to Russ because it's his tune. That's why it's called God Gave Rock and Roll to You Too, which I never realized before. Wow. Hell or High Water, it's a cool song. It's pretty stock. God Gave Rock and Roll to You Too, I think, put Kiss kind of back on the map because Bill and Ted were huge at that time frame. So just having them involved in that soundtrack was huge. It kind of was the bridge to Revenge, and was also the reunion with Bob Ezrin, who produced the track on the album.
Go ahead,
He's like eating. He's got a pepperoni.
Oh, yeah, my choke and die during my explanation.
It's Pizza Farley.
Pizza Farley.
All right, so I'm gonna go with.
How do you guys do podcasts?
I love it. Great call. It looks like you were talking about.
All right, I'm gonna go with. Again, I'm trying to leave nostalgia out of it, but I'm going with God Gave Rock and Roll to You because the song's cool. It's another anthemic Kiss tune, obviously a remake, but it's great live. I saw it on the Revenge tour, you know, and it just goes over well live. And plus, it was Eric Carr in the video. That was his last,
last vocal performance, too. He sings on the bridge.
That was it for him. So, you know, again, try not to go nostalgic-wise, but that song meant a lot to me because I was such a huge Eric Carr fan as well, and then that was kind of it, you know. So, and then they did it live, and I got the chill bumps and the whole thing, and, it just means a lot to me. So, you know, and I love Hell or High Water. I love the melody. But I'm going with God Gave Rock and Roll to You, too.
I'll agree with you there because, and here's why. Because Hell or High Water is great. I love that chorus. Yeah. I mean, it's a cool song. It really is. And to be honest, God Gave Rock and Roll to You was never one of my favorite songs. There's a couple parts in it that I'm like, but it has stood the test of time. It's a staple in their set, and it's bigger than my opinion, honestly. And I'm gonna have to give the nod to that. It's just it is the better
bonus song. Points for the fact that it's Gene and Paul singing together, which Revenge brought that back with Spit and with God Gave Rock and Roll to You. That was one of the foundations of early Kiss was the trading off, and they hadn't done that for so long. So
it's got all the elements. I like that. Yeah, exactly.
Charlie?
I got to go with God Gave Rock and Roll to You. I don't know if we got to keep nostalgia out of here, right? But I got to say that it gets me so emotional. That song represents me and my friends. Every time I listen to that song, it's like I remember friendship, which is nostalgia. That's not being objective. But on the other hand, it's like, it's that song that every time something good happens about, my friends back in Peru, they're really happy that I'm here or all the things that I do career-wise. And every time something cool happens, like they always sing, God gave rock and roll to you. So I got to go with it. Besides, I like Hell or High Water, but I think that it's that kind of song that is like a bar song, like a party song. And they're like 100 Kiss party songs, right?
Right.
So I'll take the emotional one.
I'm going to go with God Gave Rock and Roll.
Okay.
Just everything about it. I like the soft intro.
and it hits it, you know, comes in really hard. The music video kicks major ass. Eric Carr playing his ass off.
Vocals.
You almost feel like he played on it because he was so convincing in the video. Great vocals. Then to hear Eric's vocal at the end with the a cappella part.
Gave everyone. It
gives you chills. Like that song truly.
Yeah.
And as much of as an anthemic song that it is, it's not corny in any way. You could sing it and you feel it. You know, once again, it hits you in the, you know, the
it's
gut.
It's a very Bob Ezrin production. Like there's a lot of weird prog rock elements to it. That's total Bob Ezrin, you know?
Well said.
I was going to add this. Don't you think that this song, like God Gave Rock and Roll to You, has like with after the intro, like everything gets proggy and those dun 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 dun. It has so many elements.
Very dramatic.
Super dramatic.
Brian Wilson was in the
great call. Great call. So now we got My Way. Paul Stanley, Desmond Child, the reappearance of Desmond, and Bruce Turgeon. Like once again, where the Bruce I never heard of this guy before, never heard him since. Wow. Against Domino, which is only Gene Simmons. Man. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Who wants to tackle that one first? Oh. Well, Kent, go for it, baby.
I'll jump in. This one ranks up there again as one of Paul's greatest vocals.
Yes.
In my opinion. But,
so hard.
This is a tough one, man. But I'm going with Domino. Just again. It's got everything you want in Gene. It's just got, you know, it's got him talking and that really cool, you know, just got that thing. It's got the Gene thing and that we, and it's fun to play. I do know that we played it, you know, a few times today and it's just,
it's got such a great groove to it. What do you call it, Charlie?
It's because to me it represents the whole American rock and roll, baby.
Rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, I gotta stop hanging out with Steve Brown, man. But, it's not only like the riff. I think that besides that, it's like the coolest looking Gene of that time. You know, like I don't know. I think that he's more like himself, like not really like that glamorous thing, but he's like the rock and roll, the leather, you know,
the skull and rings and stuff.
Yeah, the skull rings and everything. I would take that one. And besides that, musically, it's like it has like this like bluesy rock and roll groove. You know,
swagger.
Yeah, swagger.
Did he help write this one?
No.
It's just Gene. That's a Gene song. Yeah, it's just
and
a Gene
so
song.
I'm gonna go Domino. Also, I'm gonna go with Domino. And as tough as it is, because My Way is real. There is so My Way is hooky as hell. But for that era, it is kind of stock. It's just really good stock. So it's a great song. It fits great on that record. But I'm gonna go back to my original point between what Unholy did versus Crazy Nights. What Domino did for Kiss was way more important than what, you know, My Way did for that record.
Joe?
Once again,
it's tough. It's tough.
You really brought this to light that, you know, these tracks.
Track by track, yeah.
They're identical records.
It couldn't be any tougher than this here. I have a deep love for both of them. But I'm a very... like emotions, you know, are totally
I'm
like
a simple guy.
What do you feel?
Yeah.
And when I hear My Way, it like everything that song stands for is what I'm about. Like everything about it, the vocals are unreal. That reverb that Nevison uses, like in Shot in the Dark with up.
Yes, that's another right. Yes, good call.
It's a very like dark sounding reverb, so it kind of adds the emotion with Paul's vocals and Bruce's solos. Probably, I think. In my opinion, Bruce's best work is on Crazy Nights.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with My Way.
So, for me, once again, being an ardent Paul fan, when they followed Unholy up with the second single of freaking Domino, I was like, they're going too deep on this. But now I know the record, and I'm like, okay, Domino is amazing. From the moment I first heard it, some songs take a while to get into. That one from day one was just like, this is great, and it's I call it the Gene trilogy of banging underage chicks. It started with Going Blind. Went to, I'm 93, you're 15 or whatever. Christine's 16, and now she's not even old enough to vote. Like Gene, stop. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Let's see him try to write that now.
And I love the fact too. Like, and this is like I love Paul. I love Gene too, but I love the fact that not only was it another Gene song, but in the video. Gene is now taking over the Paul role in Let's Put the S in Sex and Rock Hard, where Paul's in the background, and not only is he in the background, he's playing bass.
Oh, that's right.
Watch the video. Paul's playing bass as Gene's driving around. You guys are all looking at me crazy. I'm telling you, watch him play bass. You see Paul Stanley playing. How in the
did they
convince Paul Stanley to play bass and be in the background?
They said, just hold this for a second and just kind of play along. We're not filming.
They
covered the red light with tape, duct tape, and they were just like.
They must have said, Paul, we don't need you for this shot. Give me the bass. I'm in the shot.
He was probably playing a different song. And then they just
so
that's what he's saying. So you need me.
Indeed, you do need me.
Having said all that, much like what Joe says, the Crazy Nights record, once again, it came out when I was 16 years old, entering my final year of high school. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to tell myself a lie. It makes me almost cry thinking about it. And I wrote a book called No is a Four-Letter Word. And each chapter was kind of a life lesson that I learned. And one of the life lessons, I can't remember which chapter it was, but I put lyrics of songs that fit the vibe of the chapter. And one of the ones I use, I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to tell myself a lie, Paul Stanley. That right there is the reason why My Way is my song. I love Domino. Domino's a 9.999 and My Way's a 10 because it made me feel like I can do this. And whenever I was feeling, you know, down and out, trying to be a wrestler, trying to get in a band, moving away from home, whatever it was, I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to tell myself a lie. Those lyrics mean something to me.
It's extremely uplifting.
I'm glad you're choosing it because I don't want to see it go like undefeated.
No, no. And once again, it worked. Yes, it worked. And if you guys really want
proof of that,
if you really want to blow your mind, there's a YouTube video of Paul Stanley vocal only of My Way. And so high. It's ridiculous. But all right, we go to the second side. When Your Walls Come Down, Stanley, Mitchell, and Kulik. Is that Adam Mitchell again? He made some money off this record. Versus Heart of Chrome, Paul Stanley, Bob Ezrin, and once again, Vinnie Vincent. I mean, what am I going to say? I love Liar, Liar, Set Your Pants on Fire. I know you want it. You know you want it too. But Heart of Chrome.
Kitty, kitty.
Yeah. I mean, When the walls come down fits Crazy Nights and the time frame perfectly. But Heart of Chrome, how did they not release this as a single? It's better than I Just Wanna. It's better. They didn't play it live. It's better than Take It Off. It is to me, and that's why I said, I think I even said to you, Kent, okay, I will do No, No, No with you, but you have to promise me if you do a second song, it's going to be Heart of Chrome, right?
100%. That's the second thing you said. You said, I'll do this if.
He actually told me that.
Oh, yeah, I said, he's doing it.
But
we have to sign this. We have to sign this piece of paper saying we do.
And the thing about it is, like, that vocal is very high, but I have been singing that song since 1992. From the moment it came out, I've been singing it. So out of all the songs we've done, that one to me was the easiest. How long did it take you to track it? We never thought you could do it. Literally took me 90 minutes. I think I even texted you. I'm done.
And you're done. I'm like,
I know.
And I'm not even kidding. And we're not putting any. There's no freaking tuning on. It's legit done, boom, bam. So I'm going with Heart of Chrome, one of the underrated Kiss classics of all time. Charlie?
I got to go with Heart of Chrome because of I like the fact that it has a lot of guitar arrangements that are not usually in Kiss songs. Besides, they do this like changing, you know, the key of it. First is an A, then they go to E.
Interesting.
And yeah, and the solo is in D. Like, they make this like slightly little changes that, you know, give this vibe that is totally different. And even makes me think that who played what in this song? Like, who played, like, Bruce played this? Did Paul play this? And now, you know what? Before anything, I will never know because there's no footage of that song played live.
Might know after this weekend.
You're right.
When we started recording that and tracking all the rhythm section stuff, Bruce sent me the original demo with no vocals in it. And it was really, really cool because I got to kind of dissect everything. Wow. So just a side note there, Bruce was super, you know, welcoming and helpful when we did this together. And wasn't sure if I ever shared that with you guys.
That's very cool. Because if people don't know, Bruce Kulik actually played the solo on our version of Heart of Chrome. I remember all the before, I was like, should we call him? You call him. No, you call him. You call him. Hey, Bruce, what are you doing, man? One last thing I just want to say about this is I'm a big fan, I mentioned before, of little rhythm parts and guitar parts. I love, love, love the rhythm part in his solo. Down, digga, 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 down, out, digga, 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 down, out. Like, I could just play that all day. I can play three things on guitar, but I can play that. And I always have been able to, bam, digga, digga, just play them myself. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say that, hands down, Heart of Chrome, and just a one thing, not that anyone cares, but my least favorite Kiss song might be up there, you know, When Your Walls Come Down. Might be up there.
Wow.
One of my least favorites. And I love how it starts with Bruce's riff there. Wasn't nuts about the chorus? You know, I just.
You get so crazy when there's no one around.
Compared to everything else on the album, it just doesn't do it for me. But
I'm going to agree. I got a Heart of Chrome all the way. No explanation needed. Kills it.
Just as a drummer, what's really cool about that song too, the very first riff, dunga dunga dunga, it's, if you notice, it's an ascending tom fill, like a go 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 go, go.
Wow.
He's going backwards, which normally it's, and then the second time he goes down.
That's interesting. Yeah,
really. Which is, a lot of people, you know, they're like, that's different because you got to lead with the left. Digga, 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 this is nerdy digga, drum stuff, but
digga, 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 digga. Not to cut you off, but I just wanted to compliment you guys because this is coming from Bruce. He told me on the telephone when we first started doing this. I didn't send him any of my tracks. I wanted him to come in clean slate with just the bass and the drums. And he goes, do they even realize how close they got that? How close? Just the two of them. He goes, they locked together. Excellent. And he said, it sounds just like, you know.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So I figured I'd let you guys know.
That's great.
He did say that.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's many aspects of that song. Heart of Chrome by far is my pick on this one, but the You Told Me Lies About It, the bridge,
Ezra,
cool.
Bridge out of left field, man. Yeah, when we did the video, we did that almost like Bohemian Rhapsody because like this is a Queen part.
Yep. And we stacked those parts, and I listened to the parts, and I actually sent that to Eric Singer, and he goes, "Man, you throw a high part, throw another high part." I'm like, Eric says throw another high part on.
Well, can we just give a little shout out to Eric for his playing on this album?
Incredible.
Like you mentioned, like he really, like, listen, this reminds me, I saw the Stones a few months ago in Atlanta. We love Charlie Watts. He is the Stones. But when he died, the show must go on. They got Steve Jordan, who was a bad man. And I'll tell you what,
pick for that gig,
it kicked Mick and Keith and Ronnie in the ass. It was the best Stones show I've seen. I've been watching them since 97. I feel the same with Kiss. When Eric Singer came in, it changed the dynamic of the band for the better. This is nothing against Eric Carr, but it just worked perfectly.
100%. Well, not for nothing. 100%. When Eric Carr got in the band, it changed the dynamic.
Exactly.
Of the band. So
exactly.
It's
like a Mack truck joined the band.
Yes.
And it's, and then again, you know, it's like just a different Mack truck.
Right.
In a totally different way.
Same effect.
Yeah.
Same effect. And in the live show, you know, you take all those old hits, or you know, all that Strutter and all that stuff, when they did it live.
Had so much more punch.
Just kicked everybody.
Dude, they were doing double bass during Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. And I, you know, and they let them do it. They wanted that. They wanted that.
Yeah, they wanted the power.
You hear some of that Kiss Alive 3 stuff. You're like, what is he?
Yeah,
he's going crazy.
He's bringing
and
it.
And I thought about that. I listened to that record the other day. I'm like, man, they're just letting him go. They took him right off the leash.
Yeah. They wanted him to do what he could
they
do.
They clearly wanted him to drive the train.
Do your
and
thing.
I did that tour and I watched them, but it wasn't until I would listen to Kiss Alive 3 and go, and listen to the shit he's doing. Like, really filling it in.
My favorite Kiss Alive, by the way.
Kiss Alive 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
Just a lot of people, that's...
I gotta go with
that.
That's your era, though, man. Wherever you came in, it's like Paul says, whatever floor you got on the elevator on.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I said, 80s Kiss is my Kiss. I've argued with Charlie and all the guys hours on end.
It's an unpopular opinion.
You're always going to get into a fight about it.
But yeah, but it's my thing.
The version of Deuce on Alive 3
is better
than any other Deuce out there. And I know.
All right, let's go to the next.
It's second, probably. There's full of piss and vinegar. They're all pumped up. It is. They're fired up.
Reason to Live, Paul Stanley and my buddy Desmond Child versus Thou Shalt Not, Gene Simmons and Jesse Damon from Silent Reigns. Once again, who the is Jesse Damon and why are you writing songs with Gene Simmons?
Johnny Damon from the
PJ. That's not an easy call. Reason to Live, Thou Shalt Not.
Exhaled. I'm like, shit. Reason to Live, pretty important song to that record.
Agreed.
And you know that's kind of my theme here. I'm trying to look at the importance as opposed to just more than just the song and the structure and the writing and what it means to me, but also the importance to the record. But I mean, Thou Shall Not is pretty important.
Difficult.
Thou Shall Not is important to Revenge, because that slot where that song is easily could have been a filler. And it's not. It's a great song. It, what it does is lift that record it deep in the lineup where you think, all right, maybe most people tune out, but I'm going to have to go Reason to Live, because it's just a bigger song.
Yeah.
It's a, it really is just a bigger song.
If you're going for what it was to the record, Reason to Live is definitely my pick.
And not just because it was a single, but it's, even if it wasn't released, it's a bigger song. It's a bigger song.
Ballad.
It's what Paul was looking for when he hired Ron Nevison.
That is 100% a huge power ballad, and they nailed it. The choruses are huge on that.
Good call.
And the guitar solo on there is...
You got to give props where props is due here.
The Bruce Kulick solo on there again. He brought it to the house. And with that being said, Thou Shall Not is one of the most difficult songs I've ever had to play. And it's not... Technically, it's not hard, but the arrangement is hard.
It's the form. So it's the form.
Thou Shall Not?
Yes.
Yeah, we've been working on that for quite
I give props to them for that, because that it is so,
I give them a kick in the ass for it, not props.
It makes me upset. It's so difficult. Like, but anyway, so long story short, Reason to Live, just because it was a freaking massive song for that record. And it was like number one for like 100 weeks on
Dial MTV. Yeah. Once again, the Ron Nevison story we discussed earlier, Paul brought him in because they wanted Crazy Nights to be double platinum. I think it just went platinum. Went platinum, which is what I think Asylum did. But Reason to Live, to me, like, you can bag on it all you want, but that is just a great song. And I always say this.
Who's bagging on it?
Well, some people don't like the keyboards in Crazy Nights, right? I'm not saying anybody in this room, but my point is, a great song is a great song no matter what the arrangement is.
Yeah.
Reason to Live, if Slayer played it, it'd sound good. If a doo-wop band gathered around a burning garbage can in the Philadelphia street sang it.
That's what I mean. It's just a bigger song.
Yes. And to me, once again, we cannot understate the partnership of Desmond Child and Paul Stanley in the 80s. Yes, Kiss wasn't as big as in the 70s, but they're pretty big. They're an arena-level band, which is huge from a band from the 70s that transferred to the 80s. And a big part of that was the chemistry between Desmond and Paul. And this, to me, is top three or four of the Desmond Paul. I put Heavens on Fire in front of it, and that's it. I love this song. And even though Thou Shall Not is amazing and it's fun to play, to me, it's number three on that record behind Unholy, Domino, Thou Shall Not, of the Demon Returning. But it's still not quite as good as those other two, whereas Reason to Live could possibly be the best song in Crazy Nights.
Right.
So I'm going for Reason to Live.
Exactly. Most important.
Reason to Live. And no explanation, just because we're trying to save some time here for us. And, but yeah, Reason to Live, super emotional. Once again, that's me. Yeah. Like, I got to feel it. And I love Thou Shall Not. So
there you go. Charlie. Closed.
I used to date this chick like long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she actually showed me the song. Like she showed me how much she loved this song, like Reason to Live, you know.
Is this a shoehorn? Are we going to a different topic?
We can discuss this after the podcast. But actually I can't have this feeling for, you know, Reason to Live, because like the arrangement, the ballad, the vibe, and everything that about the song, I really like it as a song, like to listen it as a song, which is totally different of playing the song. Like,
of course.
If we take like playing it, it's like, it's very challenging to play Thou Shall Not. Like, you know, the rehearsal proved it, right? It's a challenge. But song-wise, I don't know if that word exists, but like song-wise, I'll take Reason to Live. I have like, you know, a little bit of emotion and, you know.
And I think we have our first unanimous decision.
Is that the first?
It's first one.
Wow. Yeah. And that's against a great tune too.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, so this is not going to be unanimous. It might be on the other side of the coin. This is now Good Girl Gone Bad. Once again, Gene Simmons, Peter Diggins, and David Sigerson.
Peter Diggins.
What? That tells me that.
That's not real.
That's
not real. You can't print that.
That tells me that Diggins and Sigerson brought this song to Gene. Yeah, he changed the Good Girl Gone Bad from Good Girl Is Bad. and he took a writing credit on it. That goes against every time I look at you, Paul Stanley and Bob Ezrin. Who wants to take this one?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Good Girl Gone Bad.
Yep.
That song is tremendous.
Yep.
Tremendous.
Everything.
I'm with Kills.
You. I think we've discussed this.
That is one of my favorite all time.
Good Girl Gone Bad.
Songs.
The melody is just so bad.
It's on my list.
Oh, great.
It's on my list.
Good Girl Gone Bad. I love Every Time I Look at You, but they. Great
I just
song,
like that song.
See, to me, Every Time I Look at You is the worst song in Revenge. I hate the opening of it. The chorus is great, but the bam, 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 bam. Obviously, Forever was a huge hit. Let's try and replicate it. Paul thinks it could have been just as big of a song. I don't think so, but I do know this, that Girl Gone Bad was at one point thought of being an actual single from Crazy Nights. They went with the next song instead. But to me, Good Girl Gone Bad, like I said, I would love to do
you
it with
want Singerson to get any massive royalty payments.
Sinker Finkelstein.
Charlie, what do you think? Good Girl Gone Bad or Every Time I Look at You?
I think I would give a hug to Peter Diggins, wherever he is, because he did a great collaboration in that song. And represents a lot of what, you know, when you see the title of the song, you know, this was written by Gene. By far,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah, wherever Peter Diggins is, I just want to make a shout out. Thank you, buddy, for collaborating in this song.
Joe,
he's probably downstairs.
He's
signing at midnight.
He's in enough right now.
I'm still on Good Girl Gone Bad.
Yeah. Versus Every Time I Look at
You. Hands down, Good Girl Gone Bad.
Okay, that's it. All right. As we get towards the end, okay, this one to me is one of the biggest crimes in history. Turn on the Night, Paul Stanley, and Diane Warren, who is as big of a songwriter as Desmond Child is, and I think her only other song she ever wrote with Paul was You Make Me Rock Hard, which Desmond told me that her and Diane came up with as a joke. Hey, let's write a song called You Make Me Rock Hard. Paul said, that's a great title. I said, no, it's terrible. No, I love it. We're doing it. So that's Turn on the Night versus Paralyzed, Gene Simmons, and Bob Ezrin. I'll start this one. I love Paralyzed, great riff, but to me, Turn on the Night should have been as big as Living on a Prayer. It is such a catchy song. It is such a great song. Everything about it screams 1987. Everything about it screams huge hit. It was not a hit, and I asked Paul, and he said, because they considered us dinosaurs from the 70s. They didn't want to give us airplay. Turn on the Night, I don't think it even charted. To me, that's another one. Put that on the list, Charlie. Make your list. Make the listo. I would love to do Turn on the Night, and the video is great, and just...
That song deserves a second chance.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Kent? PJ?
Sorry, I was just going to... This thought came to my head, but I'm going to choose that song just because I love that verse melody so much.
Yeah, I mean, great.
That is one of the greatest...
That's huge.
That is, that's gigantic.
Okay. Truth three here. I hated the song for a long time. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it.
It's very slick.
Until you, Chris, kind of said, man, go back and listen to it. You actually told me that. You're like, go back and listen to it and check it out. It should have been a huge song. And I don't know why I brushed that one under the rug so much, because I go back and listen to it, and I'll be damned if you're not right. It should have been a huge song.
But I was the same kid when I first heard it. I was like, this one's super slick.
Something about it just turned me off. But then I go back and listen to it, and I'm like, everything about that song.
It's so catchy, man. You're right.
I got to say Turn on the Night, although I do love Paralyzed and the gritty dirtiness of it.
Right.
And the... anything off Revenge.
But once again, it's number four in the pantheon of these great... Gene went above and beyond on that record. Every song was great.
Yeah.
Every song was great. Yep, this is Turn on the Night.
I do love it, but Turn on the Night. I'm going with that.
Joe, what do you think?
Once again, hands down, Turn on the Night. Is and a lot of Kiss fans are gonna hate on me so bad.
But
I'm gonna tell you right now, my favorite Kiss song of all time is Turn on the Night.
Really?
Really?
Wow. Why have you never brought this to the table yet?
I said it last week in the chat. I said that song is a masterpiece, start to finish.
Wow. I am signed, sealed, and delivered in on that one, man. That's Paul and Diane Warren.
Amazing melody. Amazing production.
That's a stretch, but yeah.
Whoa. Oh, dude, it's so great. I'd never get sick of that song. It's song I can never get sick of.
As long as I'm in this band, I guarantee it will. I'm going to put my fire down on
Chris,
this and tell you guys
what
you
are the band, doing. So that's
right after read my
Charlie.
Party.
Oh, we're going to definitely agree on this one, like all of the band. But I got to say that, you know, we've mentioned the chorus, like the verses and everything. But, you know, the pre-chorus is really good too. That it's really catchy. It's really, really catchy.
Wow. Yeah, it's little Zach Wilde. Wow.
Yeah, totally. It's like listening to that song, like the elements, like really catchy, like the synthesizers.
Ironically, that's my least favorite part of the song is the pre-chorus.
Really?
The pre-chorus. I don't like that melody. I like the verse and the chorus.
Wow.
It's all keyboards, isn't it?
it's like listening to it. I don't know. Like I have this feeling of, you know, remembering the big hair and everything. I was in diapers back then, but yeah, that's what I
see. Shit.
But you still had big hair.
Yeah.
With his moon boots. Yeah. I've just scrolled through Diane Warren's songs. It's like, I've heard a few of these songs. I've been scrolling for 30 seconds. I'm only on the letter B. I've heard a few of these songs. I'm on B. That's how many freaking hit songs she's got. So, all right. So it gets to the grand finale, and this is not even an issue here at all. This is one of the all-time Kiss classics, in my opinion, written by Paul Stanley and Vinnie Vincent, I Just Wanna, versus Thief in the Night, which is Gene Simmons and Mitch Weissman, which I believe was the guy that was in Beatlemania that also wrote a song on Asylum as well. I Just Wanna is the song I was waiting for on Revenge until I heard it, because I was like, okay, like I love Heart of Chrome, like we talked about, and Take It Off. But when I Just Wanna came on, which by the way is a direct ripoff of Summertime Blues.
Of course.
Think about that ever? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Wow. I'm gonna give myself a holler.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So but that is to me when they finally released a video of Paul, and it was I Just Wanna, which didn't chart, and you know, it wasn't even a thing, but the video is very cool. It's all white. Paul has no shirt on. Jeans in the back, finally, as a Paul guy. Dude, but when we play that song in our set, it's one of my favorites. And that singing is crazy once again. And in the middle of nowhere, I was really angry at first with that, wake up, baby. I remember thinking, I want to edit this part out of the song. I want to get my two ghetto blasters together, combine them, and just that part doesn't fit. It's terrible. Why would that be in there? It kills the vibe of the song. Of course, here we are all these years later, and it's a great part. Very Bob Ezrin-esque and very, very cool song. Thief of the Night is fine, but Thief of the Night to me is in the murder and high heels category. It's a fine last song on the record. Put Gene's thing on there. No one's ever going to care, and that's the way it is.
No, I Just Wanna is a strong finish. And for me personally, and I think I was the one who suggested that we put it in the quarantine set list, because that was always a highlight on the Revenge
Tour. Great sing-along.
Great, just a great live song. Just perfect. And I mean, the fact that that's the last song. Well, I mean, you know,
Kent, let me ask you a question. What does Paul say when he goes, I want you to sing a word? The word is fuck.
This word is whoop.
Yeah, fuck.
Whoop. Whoop. And you will hear that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Not in real time.
And I'll be looking at Kent when I say it.
Yeah, it's I Just Wanna 100%. I saw it live on the tour and it just rocks your face off.
That's one of those ones that's like, I know it's really high, but just tune it down a bit, man. And play it on the cruise or something. People lose their minds.
That being said, if it wasn't, man, any, like Thief in the Night, I love the melody. It's another one of those songs.
Great song.
I'm a sucker for a great melody. And that melody, Gene's locked and loaded full of badass melody.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It is a great song.
If it was against any other record, I'd probably say Thief. But you're not going to beat I Just Wanna. So, I Just Wanna.
Great solo, and I Just Wanna, too.
Here you go, Joe. Whoop.
I love the gang vocals in Thief in the Night.
Oh, yeah.
I love how Thief in the Night. Gang vocals, and it's very strong. Cool song, but I Just Wanna. Dude, if that was any other band like from that era, like Ugly Kid Joe or whoever, that song would have been huge.
Yeah.
But since it was Kiss,
they were dinosaurs from the 70s.
Yeah,
the obnoxiousness of I Just Wanna Fa.
Yeah.
I Just Wanna Fa Get You.
Right.
Like, that's pretty clever, man.
It is. It's super.
And here's another thing. How much of that did Vinnie Vincent write? Did he come there with, here's the song, and Paul changed it to, you know, I Just Want To, I Just Wanna? I don't know.
I think there should be a percentage these days.
We need to find out.
We need to find out the percentage.
Oh, when I asked Paul, he said, we're not going to talk about him on the Revenge podcast. You guys got to listen to it. We're not going to discuss that guy.
Wow.
Okay. And the look on his face was, try me, motherfucker. We're not discussing him. And I was okay, let's move on.
Let's wrap that up.
Boom.
Yeah, I just want it for me.
That was funny. It reminded me to, let's talk about Rod Stewart, right? yeah, I would go with I Just Want It, but I got to say, I'm not a big fan of the studio version of it. Like that,
oh, wow.
That part, like when the solo comes in, like the guitar solo, I think that they exploited that way more in the live version. Like the rhythm guitars, what the bass does, that
the thing. Sing along too.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the live version, which I paid more attention to it like lately.
It was third in the set on the Kiss Alive 3.
Yeah. And now I'm like, you know, a way bigger fan of the song lately. But of the live version, not as big fan of the studio one, but I'll go with the song, definitely, by far.
All right, so we've reached the end. Yeah. So last question, which one would you choose as your favorite if you go Revenge versus Crazy Nights?
I'll go first. Obviously, it's clear that it's Revenge, and I think might have even surprised some of you here in this room. But I think we made a very good argument because, for one, every song on Revenge that lost to a song in Crazy Nights didn't lose because it was a bad song. There's a couple of bad songs on Crazy Nights. There's no bad songs on Revenge. There are songs that might be less in the playlist compared to whatever song is in the track listings of Crazy Nights. But from front to back, Revenge is just a stronger, and again, I'll say it, a more important record to Kiss than the Crazy Nights.
Charlie?
I know I've said a lot of great things about, you know, liking Crazy Nights, what it means to me and my friends and everything. But if I got to choose, I got to go with Revenge because in this case, I got to choose between, you know, headbanging or, you know, partying and having a good time. And I think that I feel that, you know, I would go just for, I would choose Revenge just for Domino. I love it. I got to be honest.
Good enough.
Joe. Yeah.
Considering it lost on the head-to-head.
Once again, right? Very unpopular opinion. I'm going to go with Crazy Nights being, you know, just everything from the album cover to the songs. Like he says, there are some turds on the album, like When Your Walls Come Down. I'm going to
Liar with your pants on fire.
But man, there's a lot of songs on there that hit me right here. And just like, you know, take out the keyboards, put them in. I don't give a shit. Great songs, well-written. Nothing against Revenge, a phenomenal album, but to me, if I had to pick and I was on an island and I could only have one of those records, and it would be Crazy Nights.
Kent?
Revenge. And to me, they sounded, it sounds like a cohesive record. They sounded like a band. Mm. Like Gene was back.
Spot on.
100%. Paul was firing on all cylinders. Uh-huh. Bruce and Eric added so much to the band. Like just in the, you know, they weren't, they just... it wasn't about the image at that point. It was about the music and that record. I mean, the image was darker, and they were black, wearing all blacks and stuff like that. But, man, as a whole, that record just kicks me right in the face every time I put it on. And with that being said, also, that we're not touched, I liked Carnival of Souls after that. I thought it was dark.
Ooh.
I thought it was dark. A lot of people don't like it.
It's a whole other podcast.
Exactly.
The whole other podcast. Analyze the album. That'll be the next Quarantine one.
Yeah, because you go from Revenge to Carnival. And it's you know, they were trying to do the grunge thing. And,
it just got darker.
It's just not
from
a
there.
Great Kiss record. It's a great record, but not a great Kiss record. Right. Anyway, Revenge.
So I'll say I've said this for years that Revenge is my favorite Kiss studio record of any era.
Agreed.
It is, like you said, it was focused. It was the return of Bob Ezrin, the return of Gene Simmons. It's amazing. I will say this though, Crazy Nights wins the most improved for me over the last five, or I guess not over the last two or three years after No. I went back and said, if I like this Gene song, No, that I dismissed for 30-odd years, let me go back and listen to this. Girl Gone Bad, Hell on High Water, you know, Thief of the Night even. But it was Paul's record. Seven tunes are Paul's, four are Gene's. So Revenge is my favorite Kiss studio record, but Crazy Nights has now beat Asylum as my second favorite. And it's also made me realize there is a whole gold mine of songs for Quarantine to cover. Both records are great. I'm going with Revenge, but we will delve more into Crazy Nights, I feel, than we will into Revenge in the future.
For the record, ironically, for me, Crazy Nights is my second favorite non-makeup Kiss record.
Behind Revenge.
Absolutely.
That's why we did this.
That makes sense.
Yep.
All right, guys. It's great to play with you. I can't wait to do the show tomorrow. And right now, we got to go watch some Ace Frehley lead guitar.
Let's go, Curly.
Charlie, finish it off with something in Spanish.
Bueno, gracias a todos por ser aquí seguidores de Chris Jericho y Quarantine aquí en el podcast Talk is Jericho. Y muchísimas gracias por invitarme, mi querido. Y ya saben, amigos, tomen pisco que hace bien a la salud.
Y Budweiser. Adiós, muchachos.
You got that right.
Hold on, let's do it all together. Hold on. Ready when the cue comes.
You got that right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we love you. Let me tell you something, people. You have made us feel awesome tonight.